And good morning, dear friends. I'm glad to have you listening to Morning Devotions for the next 30 minutes. This is John Thrasher, and I hope you will keep the dial set right where it is. May the Lord bless you today and just lift you up and give you His peace and love and strength and a sense of God's presence. Let's worship Him together today, shall we? I guess one of the most beloved stories given to us in the Gospels is that one found in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. The woman from Samaria, when Jesus sat at Jacob's well. And he was thirsty, so he asked her for a drink of water. And she said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Because in those days, the Samaritans and the Jews had no dealings with each other. And Jesus said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to her, to him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his cattle?" And Jesus said to her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw." Oh, dear friend, that same drink of the everlasting life is what Jesus offers to you and me today. Not just that woman of Samaria, but to us today who have tasted of the things of this world, the things of this life, and it leaves us barren and empty, unsatisfied. And so we return to that well of everlasting life. And together we say, "Lord, fill my cup. Fill my cup to overflowing. Give me to drink of that water so that I'll never thirst again." And I think we know exactly what Jesus meant, don't we? Everything else in life is emptiness. Only Christ satisfies the longing of the human heart. Let's drink of Him today.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from the well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. There are millions in this world who are craving the pleasures earthly things afford. But none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
What a beautiful message, and I think one of the nicest songs that Bill Gaither has written. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up and make me whole. When the human heart is thirsty and empty and dry, and to be able to find in Jesus all that we need. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Those are pleasant words, aren't they? Speaking of the Lord's mercy and his graciousness, how that he is slow to anger, he is plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, And furthermore, he has not dealt with us after our sins or according to what we deserve, but in accordance with his loving kindness and his tender mercies. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that God simply looks the other way when we sin and falter and fail. No, of course not. There is coming a day when we shall answer to the Lord for how we have lived our lives, and we shall give an account. And I suppose that it all depends how strongly one believes in the judgment day will determine how he or she is going to live in the here and now. If you really believe in a judgment day, that day when the secrets of men's hearts shall be revealed by Jesus Christ, if you really believe that, it's going to affect the way you live. You know, just like if you're driving out on the highway, if you really believe that the police mean business, you're going to think twice before breaking the law. And if you really believe in a judgment day, that we shall stand before God and give an account of how we have lived our lives, then that belief is going to affect the way we live right now. How we talk, how we act, how we treat people. So I certainly believe in a judgment day when we shall stand before the Lord. But for the Christian, that's not a terrifying thought. That doesn't frighten me. Does it scare you? Because I know that my life is hid with Christ in God. And not because I am so good or worthy, but I am clothed upon with the righteousness of Jesus. He became my Lord and Savior, and I abide in him, and I am accepted in the Beloved, in Christ Jesus. And my sins are forgiven. I have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, when we know that and we can testify to that, knowing that our sins are forgiven, Christ is our Savior, then we can look forward to that day when we shall stand before the Lord, not out of fear and dread, but with a joyful anticipation of a true Christian standing before the God that we love and we do fear, but not in the sense of being scared of him. We fear him in the sense of reverential awe and trust. So I believe in a judgment day. And for the Christian, that's a beautiful thought. But knowing that the Lord does not look the other way and just excuse us for all of our faults and sins and mistakes, but that he does bring his judgment in our lives, even knowing all of that, we also know that some of his characteristics speak to us of mercy and graciousness, and how that he is slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, and he does not deal with us according to what we deserve and all of our sins, but he deals with us according to his mercy. So how kind and how gracious is our God. We can plead for his mercy. That's what the sinner did. That publican in the temple, when the Pharisee and publican were praying together, you remember? And I've mentioned this so many times, because it's a little story that Jesus gave which so clearly outlines God's heart for us, his desire toward us, his compassion toward us. You remember the Pharisee praying like this, God, you know how good and great I am. I tithe, I fast, I do all these nice things, and I'm not as bad as other people are, and I'm so thankful I'm not as bad as that publican. But his prayer wasn't even heard. But the publican prayed, and all he prayed was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you see, he is pleading for the mercy of God. Even though God will deal in judgment against our sins, yet we are taught in the Scripture to plead his mercy. And so this poor down and out publican prays, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God heard him, and Jesus said, verily I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For whoever exalts himself shall be abased, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. So what I'm trying to say to you today is, even though God will deal in judgment against our sins, let us plead his mercy. Let us pray, O Lord, may I come to know you in all of your kindness and graciousness, and even though I deserve to be cast into hell, have mercy upon me, O God. Save my soul, forgive me my sins, and deal with me according to your graciousness and your kindness, O Lord. Pray like that. How kind and gracious is our God.
Because of what the Lord has done for us.
there were not great multitudes with Jesus, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it, lest perhaps after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassy and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he is of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Whew, those words are pretty strong, aren't they? That kind of knocks in the head all those sermons on cheap grace. You know what cheap grace is? Receiving eternal life without repentance, without being willing to say yes to God. It's amazing how many people are members of all of our churches, sing in the choir, serve on committees, even preach behind pulpits. And they have a name that they are a Christian, but they have never said yes to God. They have never forsaken all that they have and taken up their cross to follow Jesus. The cost of discipleship. That's a very serious thought. It speaks of commitment. It speaks of absolute surrender. And doesn't the Bible tell us very clearly that we cannot serve two masters? A lot of people are trying to. They think that they can serve the world and serve God at the same time. And the Scripture lets us know it's impossible. Absolutely impossible. Well, what's going to happen to all these worldly Christians? I'll tell you what's going to happen to them, according to the Scripture. They won't make it to heaven. And if you think that sounds too strong, just read John's first epistle, where he says, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, no way that you can serve the master of this world and give your allegiance to Jesus Christ also. The Bible tells us that our God is a jealous God. He will have no rival. It's either or. You can't have him and someone else too. God requires total 100% allegiance of our heart to him. Now, that doesn't mean that we are sinless. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. But it does mean that our heart's allegiance belongs to one, and that is to God. And that in all of our faults and all of our imperfections, the desire of our heart is bent toward God. And even though we fail often, and even though we make a lot of mistakes, and though we sin often and have to come back to the mercy seat asking for mercy and pardon and relief, yet when the bent of the heart is towards God, and He is our Savior, He is our Lord, and we make it known that we are not serving the master of sin or the master of this world, but Jesus is the one that we love. Even though we falter, even though we come so short so often, but our heart belongs to God and we want Him and desire Him. Because, see, within all of us as a Christian, there are two natures. I'm sure you realize that. The old man, the nature that we inherited from our father Adam, with all of its propensities toward evil and corruption, and then that other nature, which we received from Christ, the nature of holiness and life. And as long as we are in this body, we struggle between those two natures. The carnal self struggles for the mastery, and our spiritual self struggles for the mastery, and the flesh and the spirit war against each other constantly. And just like we read in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, "And the house of David grew, it waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of King Saul waxed weaker and weaker." So is the story of the flesh and the spirit within us, that carnal self, the old man, wanting to be heard, wanting to be listened to, wanting us to give in to. But we keep under our body and bring it into subjection, lest after having preached to others, we ourselves should be a castaway. And with all of our hearts, we desire that the new man that we have received from Christ Jesus, that new person, have the ascendancy and rise above, have the mastery, and that we yield not ourselves as servants to sin, but that our allegiance belongs to God. Of course there is that struggle, and every day you have to keep under your body, and you have to reckon yourselves as dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. We are not perfected beings. We're not in this world with no temptations and no struggles. There will be those temptations and those propensities toward evil. And that's why it's so important to walk close to the Lord. And I believe that the closer you walk to Jesus and the more filled with His Spirit you are, the easier it is for the new man to live and put to death the old man. As Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." What was he talking about when he said, "I am crucified with Christ"? He meant that old man that he inherited from Adam, with all of its rebellion against God, with all of its self-will, with all of its sinfulness, that old man was crucified with Christ. But every day we have to reckon this to be so, that we are dead to sin. The old man is dead and buried. And now let the new man come forth. Remember the scripture that says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Let us count the cost of discipleship. Let us say yes to God. Be sold out to Him 100%. Love Him, worship Him, serve Him. And that's the only way to live. Don't give in to the things of the flesh. Say no to it. Let it be crucified with Christ. And then let us live every day in resurrection power to walk in newness of life.
Rejoice, the Lord is King.
My time is gone. It's been good to be with you. This is John Thresher. Thanks for listening. Have a good day. God bless you.